Dear beloved Muslims, brothers and sisters, people, assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah for the opportunity together for the sake of righteousness. And I thank Him for health and for strength and for the mind to continue to struggle in the path of obedience to Allah. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have a talk for you today that I think benefits all of us. I hope we all will bear patiently and try to keep an open mind. Is the life of Muslims. This is the life we have chosen. Our life differs from the life of people who are not Muslim in some very so far as to create trouble for innocent people just because they want to be good. Dear beloved people, we have to understand that righteousness is not welcome in the world. Muslims and all of us should understand that Jesus Christ, the Prophet, upon him be peace, is a sign. And perhaps more than anything else, he's a sign of what's in store for the righteous in a wicked world. So let us not think because we are good, we have no enemies. Let us not think because we are good people, we have nothing to fear from the world. That excites them to wickedness more than anything else. Because nothing threatens the wicked more than your righteousness. They can stand righteousness in the world that's blind, that can't see what's really going on. Can't stand any grown-up intelligence coming from good people, because that intelligence is going to work against the wickedness of the world. So if you think that simply because we are not racist, we are now loved by the world, you're wrong. We are disliked more now for this position than we were for the position we took on with all of Elijah Muhammad. Effort to better understanding of those matters that burden life for all of us, we may ask the question, what is America? What is Christianity? Mentality. And then looking back at ourselves, we may go on to ask, Muslim education. What is the Muslim community? What is the Ummah? Brothers and sisters, I ask these questions to say there are many who struggle to draw our minds by deception into accepting weak, nitwit regard for time and place in which we live. To explain what I'm saying, there are those who will tell us to simply follow religious readings, no matter how old they are, follow the khutbah of Imam Rashid, who was born 8,800 years ago. And if they notice that we are conducting our meeting or our khutbah or our lecture in a way that differs from theirs or in a way that they can't readily recognize their own, here's what we are saying. They begin to work to undermine, to criticize, to cast suspicion, to undermine what we are doing. Say all of those people are not Muslims or unrighteous, but they are certainly blind. They would like to require of us that we just deliver standard old world football without any regard for the time and the place in which we live. We live in America, and it's 1981, springtime now, and the news reporter said that the spring began 11.3 hours on the morning of the 21st, I believe. Now, that seems accurate, isn't it? 11 hours and 20 minutes. That's being pretty accurate. Well, I like that. I like that way. I like being accurate. We have to begin this year 11:20 a.m. Before going on, I want to turn now to the Quran. Let us read the Quran. Some verses, so that our vision of what this religion is will be clearer, or will be revised. I understand that every one of you have a great burden on you, keeping the religious vision before you. Because you are not in an Islamic environment, the media does not carry the message of Islam. The people don't speak our language. They speak their own languages. So we only have to read the Quran or to read some Islamic literature or to visit the Mecca. That's a big test. That's a big trial on us. So we have to make an effort to refresh the memory, to bring back the vision of our life clearly as possible. I would like to read now verses from the last of the chapter called Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, beginning with from his Lord, as do the men
actually mean the believers, all the believers, not just men of faith, all the believers, as do the believers. Here we are told that the prophet believes in what has been revealed to him. And also the believers believe in what has been revealed to him. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Each one, that is all of them, the apostle and the believers, each one of them believes in Allah, His angels, His books, and His messengers. Muslims don't have one vision of their responsibility in this religion, and another vision of the Prophet's responsibility in this religion. The Prophet's responsibility is our responsibility. What God has obligated the Prophet, He has also obligated us with the same. And He puts the Islamic responsibility on top of Muhammad, not seeing him or revealing him as a super being or angel or non-human type. Over and over again in the Quran, we're told that Prophet Muhammad is a man just like us. No mystery man. He didn't have no mystic power to help him fast, to help him pray, to help him do zakat, to help him carry out his Islamic responsibilities to his people, to the world. He didn't have any mystic power to do that. That old idea was done away with the clear teachings of Prophet Muhammad, that the messenger of God is a mortal just like everybody else. He has no supernatural powers aiding him, except Allah alone. And the same help will come to any of us if we will just give sincere obedience to Allah. The Prophet has told us that the way that he was supported by Allah, we will also be supported by Allah in the same way if we will simply follow his footsteps and live the honorable life that he demonstrated. This is no superstition. This is no superstitious religion. We are not asking the people to believe in something otherworldly, something beyond the human capabilities or beyond the human reach. We are asking you simply to do what is natural and comfortable for a good thinking person. This religion is cut out for a natural, good thinking person. It's not cut out for any super people. All of us have the same super ability. The super ability of all people is human ability. This is what we are taught in this Quran. Praise be to Allah. Let us now read again another verse. Verses from chapter titled The Prophet Al-Anbiya. Here in this chapter, beginning with verse 105, again, opening teachings for وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزُّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذِكْرِهِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Pardon me. لَقَدْ Sadna Izzuburi Mimbadi Zikri and an Arda Yerituha Ibadi Salihun. Which means in English, before this, meaning before the revelation of Quran, we wrote, are prescribed in the Psalm, after the message given to Moses. And I quote again here the quote given in this verse. My servants, the righteous, shall inherit the earth. So Allah tells us that the righteous shall inherit the earth. We believe that. We don't doubt that. The believers believe that. Because they are with the message of God. He believes in the book, the Revelation, and in all that Allah has prescribed, and the believers believe likewise. Therefore, where Allah says, the righteous shall inherit the earth, we have an assurance, if we are indeed believers. So should we be weak-hearted, weak in spirit? Should we be discouraged to the point that we want to give up, despair, simply because the wicked have control of things in society? No! We are told that the righteous shall, didn't say maybe, the righteous shall inherit the earth. What does it require? What is necessary? What must develop? Again, in the Quran, Allah calls for that special group that can accomplish things. Says, let there arise from among you a group calling to all that is righteous, resisting all that is unrighteous, and not fearing the mockery of the criticizer. They can't be shamed out of their courage to obey Allah. They can't be shamed out of their Islamic mind. Although they be unpopular in the world, they cannot be crushed. They cannot be shamed. They cannot be overcome by peer pressure. Because their devotion is to Allah alone. Their fear is of Him alone. No fear dominates them except the fear of Allah. And God says, Allah that is, and I like to say Allah, I stress Allah, because some of us still haven't accepted that God is not an equal expression for the term Allah. It carries the mark of wickedness on it. Any time you can expel a divine name backwards and it reads dog, something's wrong with it. It's part of the Jacobite tricks. So we don't like to use the term God, but so you will understand that we're talking about anyone that all of us recognize as being supreme and above the limitations of creation. We use that expression God. But it hurts me every time I use it. I don't like to use it. Not even the Arabic word ilah is equal to the word Allah, the name Allah. Ilah means God, what we are devoted to, what we worship as a Lord, as a God. But that word ilah is not equal to Allah. How come? Because the word Allah is the proper name in the Quran for and ilah is not the proper name. It's only a descriptive name, but not the proper name. It is not a name encompassing all the meaning. The Quran has established one word that encompasses all the divine attributes of God, and that is Allah. Ilah is just part of the description in Allah. So if we could use Ilah, which is a decent, honorable word, good word, divine name, it still wouldn't be equal to Allah. Now we put in a situation where we have to use G-O-D. And when you read it backwards, it's B-O-G. You think we should like that? Should Muslims be comfortable with that? Should our imams be standing up before you and God, 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 God? We should hear Allah from his mouth more than we hear God. To show us that he has an intelligent grasp of what's right and what's wrong, of what's best. I think most of them do. But just in case some of them don't. Praise be to Allah. Every time I say something that seems not to be standard, so many of you take the position that you can't accept it until you go and check it out. Those are not my followers. Those people are following somebody else. What I mean by that, they shouldn't be in a disposition, in a frame of mind, in an attitude that makes them question everything I say that they haven't already had a verification for. That kind of obedience doesn't say that you're really following the leader. That's an obedience that's reserved. It says I won't believe anything the leader says if it's new or different until I check it out. If you have to check it out, then he has no leadership over you. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Let us go on. To save time, I'll just read it in English, which I would like to read in Arabic, because Arabic is the purest. It is pure. The other is not quite as pure. When you translate, you lose part of the purity of the Quran. Verse 6 reads, verily in the Quran is a message for people who would truly worship Allah. Verse 107 reads, God sent you, that is the apostle, Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, we sent you not, but as a mercy for all creatures. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, but as a mercy for all the world, or for all creatures. Verse 108, say, what has come to me by inspiration is that your God is one Allah. Will you therefore bow to his will? In al-Islam? Or will you therefore be Muslim? Fahal antum muslimun? Verse 109, but if they turn back, say, I have proclaimed a message to you all alike and in truth. But I know not whether that which you have promised is near or far. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ أَذَنْتُ قيمتكم على سواء. But if they turn back, then say, I call you on terms that are equitable. What is this referring to? What is this referring to? Look, the verse before said, tell them that God is one, Allah. Is that right? Now again, let us look at the Quran, speaking in the same direction, or addressing the same need in the society, wherein Prophet Muhammad is told to call the people together, to tell the people, let us come together on terms that respect us equally, on terms of equality. The same word for that, equitable terms. Here we find that it's again connected with the worship of one Allah. And in the other reference that I just quoted, it's connected too with the worship of one Allah. In this, it says, what that we raise not up from among ourselves laws to lord over each other. That's the equitable term. That's the terms that respect us mutually. In one context, it is a direct reference to Jesus Christ. And here it's a general reference to the idea of people setting up lords or gods other than the real one. How are we denied equal basis or equal terms for mutual relationship, for just relationship with Christians, with others, just dealings between ourselves, a just situation if we are to cooperate, if we are to coexist? Huh? What is required? That you don't erect a man up and say he's God, and say he came to you, say he's the potentate of your way, and then say he's divine, he's a son of God, and put him in your image, and ask an African from Nigeria or some other place to accept that Caucasian, European, or that Jewish-looking Lord that put us in a situation where you have a divine closeness that we don't have. Giving us a religion and you keeping the long end of the stick. Yes, that's what it amounts to. Oh, don't attack the Christian belief. Don't attack Christianity. That's not right. Muslims are not supposed to do that. Dad, let me hear Ahsan. I know it. And this is the way that is Ahsan. There's honor with them in the way that is most excellent. Excellence is not a passing by the most convincing argument. Excellence means taking the most convincing argument and bringing it to them. And again, where the Quran says, for Allah tells us, to use kind exhortation in addressing the people, there is a qualification also. But in cases of outright wrong, you excuse from talking sweet talk to people. This is the Quran. So if somebody has done an outrageous injustice to us, are we to talk sweet talk to them? Yes, we are Muslims, and you are Christians, and you are Jews. All of us are black people, and we love all people. Certainly we love all people, but not people that got the hell and devil in them, that are working like hell to keep it on us. No. You're supposed to come with potent arguments. Am I talking outside of the context of this book? No. I'm talking in line with the Quran. And that's what I've always done since I got a hold of the book. Tried my best. This is the only religion of the great religion that puts human beings on an equal footing before God. The only one. Every other one slights great segments of the human population. Yes. The Jews pray that Judaism is the natural inheritance of Jews. But it's only a right to other people that are not born Jews by adoption. Now, it is by adoption. Who's adopting me? So what are they saying? How can I prove what I'm saying? Go to the book. For after all, again, our Quran says, unless you come straight with what the book says, you have no argument. I mean, between Christians and Muslims and others, say, let the Jew come with what he has in his book. Let the Christian come with what he has in his book. Let the Muslim come with what he has in his book. And there's no other way to sell the argument. So we are not attacking Christians' lives. Well, that would be a simple job. And we would be just as exposed as them, many of us. Because many of us don't even live up to our religion. But what we have as a foundation of strength is the fact that our book is just and right and pure and contains no double talk and no wickedness. Talk straight talk. Not establishing righteousness in this and out of this side of the mouth and embracing up wickedness out of the other side of the mouth. Our book goes straight against wrong. Clean cut. So we stand on the strength of our book. And our book gives us the argument for the others who have books. Let us stand upon the book. All right? Now, let me go back to what I said. The Bible tells us that Jewish leaders who claim to be apostles of God, apostles of Jesus, as the Son of God, God forbid, that they address non-Jews as children, our little children. Go and read it for yourself. In the New Testament, the Jewish leaders address non-Jews, people who weren't born Jews, as their little children. Paul said, not my little children. Peter said, my little children. The preacher in the church now, he says, my children. My children. Whole people. If a people say that that we are the children of God, and then when they address us, they say, children, my children, my little children. I'm quoting it as it is. My little children. Meaning you have some other children that's a little bit. They must be following something else other than religion. Excuse me. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's not my intention. All right. If the preacher calls his followers his children, he's saying his followers. The preacher doesn't know. Believe me, these preachers, they are ignorant. I don't mean unintelligent. They're ignorant of the doctrine. This world hasn't allowed these preachers, these common preachers you find in the world, they haven't allowed them access to the wisdom of the doctrine. They're ignorant of the wisdom of the doctrine. So they say, I know children, and the architect, he sniggled every time they said. The preacher said, my little children, the real architect, he said. Because he knows the one who's speaking is his little child. And children don't have children. We don't
do this like other people do. We do it very naturally. I want to read again from the Quran. Beginning with verse 26 of the 7th chapter of the Quran. And it reads, Ya Bani Adam, all you children of Adam, we have bestowed raiment upon you to cover your shame.
Now here, we are called children of Adam. Is that right?
We are not the children of God.
We're the servants of God. We're the believers in God. We're the believers in God. We're the servants of God. God doesn't have children. God creates children. This idea that God is our Father brings into the mind, even though you see God in a spiritual way, the idea that God is our Father brings to the mind a concubine. A wife or something for God. And this idea finally brought about the real principle of a female in the deity.
God, the mother, and the son.
You see? You must understand that our religion does not allow us to accept that kind of a
concept of the deity, a concept of God. No, indeed.
We are children of Adam. What does Adam represent?
Adam represents our original intellect, the original nature of the human intellect.
We are the children of that. We have sprung out from that. The mortal being that God created
to serve him, to do good, and to open the world and develop it. Because in the Quran, God says that he made Adam a ruler in the earth. And he says that he made everything in creation of use accessible to the man he made. Is that right?
sun, moon, star, wind, everything.
Somebody accepted that and really took it, and made a touchdown. And you know who it was? The European.
He is going up in the sky with his rocket. He's gone deep into the earth with his industrial tools of exploration. He's searched the depths of the sea. He brought mineral resources from both land and sea. He utilized forces of the sky. Should we be now astonished as Muslims? No, we should be ashamed as Muslims that we didn't have the courage to go on and explore the world with faith that we are the best qualified creature of God to deal with the forces of the environment, and that he has rendered them all of service to us. He has not made these things, as God says in the Quran. Do you think that we made all of this playing games? God says we were not playing games, and we made all of this. The earth and the sky and all of the physical elements, that's for a plan. And then created the man with freedom of principle of a female in the deity. God, the mother, and the son. You see? Muslims, you must understand that our religion does not allow us to accept that kind of concept of the deity, a concept of God. No, indeed. We are children of Adam. What does Adam represent? Adam represents our original intellect, the original nature of the human intellect. We are the children of that. We have sprung off from that. The mortal being that God created to serve him, to do good, and to open the world and develop it. Because in the Quran, God says that he made Adam a ruler in the earth. And he says that he made everything in creation of use accessible to the man he made. Is that right? Sun, moon, star, wind, everything. Somebody accepted that and really took it, and made a touchdown. And you know who it was? The European. He has gone up in the sky with his rocket. He's gone deep into the earth with his industrial tools of exploration. He searched the depths of the sea. He brought mineral resources from both land and sea. He utilized forces of the sky. Should we be now astonished as Muslims? No, we should be ashamed as Muslims that we didn't have the courage to go on and explore the world with faith that we are the best qualified creature of God to deal with the forces of the environment, and that he has rendered them all of service to us. He has not made these things, as God says in the Quran. Do you think that we made all of this playing games? God says we were not playing games, and we made all of this. The earth and the sky and all of the physical elements, that's for a plan. And then created the man with freedom of will, a limited free will, and an intellect that allows are to grasp and interpret the reality that he's in. And to use the knowledge that he gets out of that interpretation to improve the order of life for himself and others. Do you think we've done all of that playing games? Serious business. Yes. If that would ever register on the Belarian mental mind, brother, that would be a force to motivate you to higher achievements in society like nothing ever happened in our lives before. So it would be a generating force that's unmatched by anything that ever happened in our lives before. Look what it did for the Arabs, who were the most backward people at that time in history. A people who were culturally deprived, a people who were nationally inferior, backward, terribly divided against themselves or among themselves. Like primitive clans, each one going blind toward his own pleasures and abusing the weak. But those people were brought in a short period of time. A period that baffles the historians. I'm talking about Western historians. They're baffled. They look, he was a man in 20 years. Brought a whole peninsula.